coming back into Hebrews, and today we won't see the title Christ specifically in anything we're looking at, but we're still looking at kind of the background, looking at, as we were looking at Christ, and I just sort of have taken a side track in Hebrews, just picking out some things where Paul includes himself and with the saints in Jerusalem who were suffering. He not only includes himself, but what he writes would be applicable to any believer who fits the circumstance, not that the other things in the epistle don't apply to, but these are some of the practical matters that he dealt with dealing with these Christians in Jerusalem. Now, today we want to pick up a theme out of chapter 11 and verse 40, and in 11:40 it says, "And God having provided," literally it says, "God having foreseen," he saw something beforehand, he saw some better thing for us. And so that's what God did, see some better thing generally concerning us. And when you consider a better thing, if it's better, it's not the same. And so better cannot be the same as something as that which is good. It's going to be something better. And so that, again, that establishes a difference, a distinction. And so when we come to language, we in English, we have a positive. The positive would be good. And to look at the comparative, it would be better. And so better is not good, it's better. And then you look at the superlative, and it is best. And so we have these different degrees in English. And so you have good, better, best. And you can apply that to many other words. And so as we look at better, it is not the same as that which is good. And so God's making it, we have a distinction here that God did foresee, he provided some better thing concerning us, generally concerning us. And then it goes on to say that they, without us, that is apart from us, should not be made perfect, that they should not come to their completion, that they should not arrive at their intended end. And so this is a word that we would translate mature. They are not going to reach their maturity until we have received our better thing. And so there's an ellipsis here, and that's we will include that ellipsis as we look at this. Now, because the time is short, I'm going to have to try to figure out how I want to handle what we're looking at today. So we're going to just kind of move through. We'll go back into the context though a little bit, and this verse drops in out of a context dealing with faith, and we have quite a bit of an emphasis on faith as we move along through Hebrews. But in chapter 11, it deals with Old Testament faith, and so you have what we could, some have probably called it, but we could call it the Hall of Faith. It deals with those Old Testament saints, not all Old Testament saints, but many Old Testament saints who did who had faith. Now, as we look at faith in this chapter, the word faith occurs 24 times where it's dealing with Old Testament or pre-Old Testament saints. And we do have, as we look at it, I want to remind ourselves that when you look at faith in the Old Testament, it was different than faith today. Faith in the Old Testament was a human-generated faith. And so it was something that men generated, that was human faith. And so it's different than faith today, because faith today is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so when we direct faith today, it's something that we have divine enablement to do so. And it's a divine quality that we are able to direct, as the Holy Spirit enables us. He produces that faith, and it's up to us to direct it in a proper way. And so we have faith, and we are to use faith. But we have a faith that really doesn't use the word better with it, but we do have a better faith than they had, because they had faith, but their faith was something that was something they generated. They did generate their faith And so the Holy Spirit was not indwelling them. They did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. They did not have the fruit of the Spirit. And they did not know about Christ. They could not manifest or reflect the character of Christ. There was no way. And that tells us something. We just pause there for a minute. Back to the word better. What we have is better. And so it is. It's better all around. And so it's not to say that what they had was bad. Now this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, begins in verse 1 with a definition of faith. And faith is the substance. It's that which gives substance, the undergirding, the ground of things that are hoped for. And remember, you hope for something, you have a hope is based upon a promise. And there's a certainty to this hope. But it's the evidence of things not seen. So really, it deals with the essence of what something is, but you can't see it, but you hope for it. If you can see it, you don't need to hope for it anymore. Paul refers to that back in Romans chapter 8. It should be down around verses 23, 24, someplace in there, anyway. But you don't, if you see it, you don't hope for it anymore. It goes on, and we're going to just drop on down to verses 4, down through. Oh, we can go down really all the way down to verse 23, where we come to Moses' parents. And Moses' parents, they had some faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born. So Moses didn't have the faith, but his parents did when they hid Moses away. And so in between verses 4 and 23, we have a group of people who were named and who lived before the law. And so they lived in the earlier dispensations, and we could work our way through some of that. But you have Abel in verse 4, by faith Enoch, verse 5, by faith Noah, verse 7, by faith Abraham, verse 8. And then he deals with Abraham. You come to Sarah also through faith in verse 11. And we move on down to verse 20, where you have Abraham again by faith repeated. But then in verse 20, you have Isaac. And then verse 21, Jacob. 22, Joseph. And then Moses' parents in verse 23. Now, those were all before the law was given. Then Moses, it was still before the law was given that by faith, Moses refused to be identified with as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and it deals with that. But then eventually we come down to the giving of the law. And so the next individuals, we actually have a Gentile woman in verse 31 who is Rahab the harlot. And she was known as the harlot, and she's apparently never really was known as anything otherwise. But then in verse 32, we come to some other Old Testament saints who were Jews: Gideon, Barak, Samson in verse 32, and Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, and so on. It goes on to describe these individuals who were under law, and it goes on to describe some of the things that they went through in the Old Testament. Verse 35, there were women who received their dead, and so on, and so on. It goes on to describe many individuals in the Old Testament, though, from verse down as we move under the law. Now, as we come down to verse 38, we learn something about these individuals who were living in the Old Testament. Here it says, concerning whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy with reference to these people. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And so they did all of those things. And then verse 39 brings us down to the immediate context. And these all. And so he's going to go back and look at these all. He says, having obtained a good report, really just says that they had received a good witness. They were witnessed. They were witnessed. And it's an aorist passive, which indicates that somebody else bore a witness. Something else bore a witness. And so, but they did it through faith. Now, how was their witness born concerning these individuals? Well, it was born by the lives that they lived, essentially. And here in Scripture, God bears witness to their faith, but they had a good witness. They were born a good witness. And so, but it was through the intermediate agency of faith. But you notice that it goes on to say they received not the promise. So they didn't get the promise. Now what the promise is, Paul doesn't say, but these Hebrew Christians understood what he was referring to and that to which he spoke. The promise, they didn't get what they were going to get. They didn't get the promise that God had given to them. And so they hadn't arrived in the Old Testament. And they did not get what God had provided for them. Now back up in verse 13, we can take it back up to the old folks, the older ones, the elders, those who were the, as they are described back up earlier in verse 2. It says, by faith, or for by the elders, by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. No, they were also received a witness. They were witness. They had a witness that was born concerning them. And it's the same word. It comes from the verbal form of a martyr. We get our word martyr from a witness. And so it's used. This phrase is used a few times in the chapter that this witness was born concerning the elders, though, the old ones. And so it goes back to the earlier days of the race. We won't pick it up. Well, we could point out in verse 4, you have Abel's witness. He was witness. It said he obtained a witness, the same words that we find in verse 2 and down in verse 39. And also it says God testifying. But God here was witnessing concerning his gifts. And so we do see that God was bore witness concerning Abel's gifts. And then a testimony was seen in verse 5 dealing with Enoch. But then down in verse 13 it says these who lived long before, he says these all died, and they died according to faith. And so their standard of measurement when they died was faith, not having received the promises. Now it's interesting, we have different words here that are translated, obtained, received, and such. We have four different words used in the chapter. This one, if you're looking at an interlinear, it would be lambano. And lambano has the idea to take or to receive, and just the reception of something. There is a textual problem where it uses the word that we find down in verse 39, which is a different word, which has the idea of receiving something, and you take it away, carry it off for safety. You keep it in safety, but it's something that is yours. You obtain it, and it's something that you have. Well, here I would probably go with the rendering from Lombano, but they received not the promises. And so there were promises given, but they didn't receive them, but having seen them afar off. They saw them in a distance down through time. And so when they were dying off, they realized, well, they didn't have the big seed. Abraham was promised land. He was promised seed. Did he see any of it in his lifetime? No. He didn't see all of the seed that was promised to him, and we'll step back and look at that in a moment. But they received not the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded. Now, I don't know where they came up with the persuaded, but really it says, and they greeted them. There was a greeting here. There was a greeting, and they confessed. They were in agreement that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, the way they were pilgrims and strangers is seen in the context. Now, what was Abraham promised? And we'll just go back to Abraham. We won't go before, but Abraham was promised what? You have four covenants that were cut with Abraham, and the technical words were the covenant was cut with Abraham. And so we can go back to Genesis chapter 15, where we find the first covenant with Abraham. He had personal promises to Abraham that were given in chapters 12 and 13, but they were personal promises. They were not They were not a cut covenant. They were not a covenant, but the covenant was cut in this very day, and we can see this in the Pentateuch, in the five books of Moses and Deuteronomy. It refers back to, it was in that day that he received the covenant, and so it was in that day. But in Genesis 15, you get down to verse 18, down through 23. It was in that day that Jehovah cut a covenant with Abraham. It was Abram at the time. And when he cut the covenant with Abram, he promised him land. And this was a pretty good bit of land that was promised to him. We won't go back and look at it, but he was promised land. And you can get over to Deuteronomy, and you have the so-called Palestinian covenant, but God did cut another covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And again, I'm not going to take the time to go back there, but he did cut a covenant, and there was a, for them to receive the promise, they needed to be obedient. There were curses and there were blessings that came from chapter 27 up through 30. If they obeyed, they would be blessed. If they didn't obey, they would suffer the curses. And so the blessings were health, wealth, happiness, but they could enjoy it in the land. But they never really took all of the land that God promised to them. It wasn't until Solomon was king that they received a stretch of that land, but it never expanded all the way over to the river Euphrates. Never did they inherit all of the land that was promised. But Abraham was looking, and so back in verse 9 it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. He just moved about in a strange country, dwelling in tents. Now, he didn't settle down and build a home and a city. It says he settled down and was at home where? In tents, in tabernacles. But he did it associated with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And so he never settled down in one spot. God had promised him land. But he didn't know the boundaries of the land. He kept moving around in the land that was promised to him. But notice verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God had promised him land, and he knew that there was a city. So he was looking for an established city, but he never found it. And so you can see that we have this referred to a little bit later down in the context. Let's skip over on down to verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And so what they were looking for, as they were strangers and pilgrims here on earth, moving around, living in tents, they were looking for a land, and Abraham was looking for a city. But here we see they were really seeking a homeland, a fatherland, and it comes from the word for father. They were looking for a fatherland, and a place that God had promised to them. And it didn't come to them, though. And now it says in verse 16, now Paul, as he writes this, he says right now, as he writes this, now it says that these all died without receiving the promise. But now they are stretching themselves out for a better country, something better. They're looking for something better than what they had when they were living here, that is, and heavenly. And so they were looking for something that was heavenly. Not that they were going to heaven, but they were looking for a kingdom that related, or a city that related to heaven. And so, wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, they don't know anything about the city that's prepared for them as far as the city. Abraham looked for a city that God built. He was the builder and maker of a city. He looked for that city. And over in chapter 12, I believe one day he will receive that, but he's going to get the promise. His seed is going to get the land. Abraham and his seed will get the land. But you do see the new Jerusalem coming down out from heaven. Now, it's not coming to earth. It's going to come down and hover over the earth. But you do find some men in verse 23 who are going to be there, that they're the spirits of just men made perfect, righteous men made perfect. And I think that would include those who lived up to the law. before the law was given. Those who were not under the law, they had promises. There was promise there, but we don't know what they were going to get. But we can place those who are under the law. We know where they're going to be in the future. But those men, I believe, would be those who are going to be made mature. They were righteous men before the law. And so that would fit these who lived before Abraham, who lived by faith. But anyway, Abraham was looking for a city. And so that's the thing that we see here. He was promised land. But they didn't receive the promise. And neither did those who followed under law. They received a good witness. They were born a good witness. But they, through faith, but they didn't receive the promise. Now, Abraham had another promise that stands out, and that promise would go to a seed. And so back in verses 11 and 12, we do see that it was through faith that Sarah herself received strength and inherent power to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so God is faithful. She knew God was faithful to the promise, even though humanly speaking it was impossible. And so therefore sprang there even from one in verse 12, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now that takes us back to Genesis chapter 22. Now in 15, he also did say that he would have a great seed. And that was one thing. He said, look at the stars. You'll have a seed like the stars of the heaven. Abraham believed Jehovah, and it was imputed to him for righteousness in Genesis 15:6. And so as we come back here, we see reference to the stars of the multitude, but then also the sand by the seashore. And that takes you back to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17. But there we find there's a multiple yet singular seed, and we notice that emphasis back in chapter 6. We're multiplying, I will multiply thee. But he would have a seed. And so those were the promises, but he didn't receive those things in his lifetime. And yet there's an anticipation for those who are there in paradise now at the edge of the third heaven. They're stretching themselves out for a better thing than what they had here. Now, it's not the same as what we have, but it's better than what they had. And there you do find the word better used in verse 16. Now, when we consider Abraham, he didn't get the land, and the Jews didn't get all of the land, and ultimately they ended up booted out of the land. I always like the description back in Acts chapter 7, though, of Abraham and the land. And let's just look back there for a moment. We can go, if I can get there quick enough, back to verse 5. Now he was supposed to leave the land of the Chaldees, and he did, but he took his father and his nephew with him. So he was supposed to go just leave by himself, but he takes his family with him. He ends up in Haran, and then he moves from there, and he waited till his father died before he went into the land that was promised to him. But in verse 5 we see, and he gave him none inheritance in it. So he just wandered around living in tents, a nomad. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child, and so on. But we see that he goes on in the history of Israel down through there. But he says he didn't give him enough to set his foot on. Now, how wide was his foot? Even if his foot was as big as Bigfoot's foot, it wasn't very wide. And so that wasn't much. There wasn't enough land for him to even put his foot down on that he inherited. He didn't have that land during his lifetime. But he will get the promise. Again, we can look at other places dealing with the promise that God is faithful to all of his promises, and he will fulfill the land promises. But then when we look at it, these Jews did not get all that they're going to get. They didn't get their good thing yet. Now, we don't find eternal life mentioned in the context, but one thing that the Jews will get out in the future will be their eternal life. And that's something that they didn't receive in the Old Testament, but it's something that came to be something they look forward to. Actually, we do have a reference if we want to go down to verse 35. And as you look at verse 35 in Hebrews 11, it says, "Women received, they received their dead raised to life again." Now that was resuscitation, and so that was not eternal life. And others were tortured, not welcoming, not accepting or welcoming deliverance, that is redemption, a complete redemption, that they might obtain, that they might hit upon something, they might come upon something, a better resurrection. And so as a possibility, here's better as applied to Old Testament saints, but it's a better resurrection than others who were living in the Old Testament. And back in Daniel chapter 12, we do find reference to their resurrections. The resurrection in the Old Testament, it's just a general statement, but it does describe the Jews and their resurrection, all of those who died, and all of those, they all did die, all who lived under law. And so if you go with me to Daniel 12, we'll look at verses 2 and 3. We come here when we think of the Old Testament saints and their eternal life and their prospects for the future. But none of them had received the promise. But here we see, "And many from among them that sleep," we could say, "in the dust of the ground of the earth shall awake." And so it says some, but if we could read this, "these shall be to eternal life." And so you're going to have many from among them. And so they're going to be raised, those who are Old Testament saints are going to be raised from among those who sleep the sleep of death. And these are going to be raised to eternal life. But as for the rest, those who are not raised yet, when they're raised, they are going to be raised, and as for the rest, to shame. They're going to be raised to shame and eternal contempt. And so you have two, essentially, this is the way they saw resurrection. They saw the resurrection of those who were the righteous ones and those who were unrighteous. And so there are two kinds of resurrections. But now we come to those who are raised to eternal life. "And they that shall be wise or prudent shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." And so just like the diffused light of the sky, they're going to be raised in that brightness. "And they that turn many to righteousness," that's the stars. And so little bright lights of light, they're going to shine like into the ages from the ages. So it was possible for them to receive a better resurrection. Now, when we're raised, we don't get a better resurrection. No matter who we are as believers, there's no difference in our resurrection. We all get the same. We're all going to get the same thing, and we're all going to be like Christ. But these, they had a potential to have a better resurrection. And so that was something that they anticipated, something they could look forward to, as far as these Old Testament saints were concerned. And they went through a lot of things during that time. The world wasn't worthy of these people, but yet they all, though they received a good witness, they were witnessed a good witness, they, through faith, they did not receive the promise. And so that brings us down to verse 40. But I want to go back and just for a moment and consider their fact that they did not receive. Now, the word "receive" here is different than the words that we've seen earlier in the context, and it has the concept of receiving something that you can, it's something that it belongs to you. You carry it off and you keep it safe. It's something with that kind of a notion to it. But it's something that you can, you carry it, it becomes yours, though it's yours. And so you can carry it off, though, and keep it in a safe place, in a safe way. we find this term not too frequently. It does occur 11 times, and 3 times it occurs in Hebrews. But I want to go back and notice a couple of places where we see this. Now, they didn't receive, but we do have that potential to receive. Back in 2 Corinthians, we come chapter 5, we come to the chapter dealing with the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And so we come back and look at the Bema. We find the chapter dealing with the intermediate body of the believer and such, and being absent, being away from home, away from the Lord while we're here in this body. But when we depart from this body and go away from home from it, we're present at home with the Lord and so on. But as we come down here to verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, before the Bema of Christ." The purpose is in order that each one may receive the things done through his body, according to or facing that which he hath done, the thing that he's practiced. And so it's not the word done here, is the word to practice, and he's going to receive. Now the word receive here is that this word, you yourself are going to receive it. It's a middle voice, and so you receive for yourself. And it is to, you're going to get back what you've done. You're going to be, there's going to be a payback, so to speak. You're going to carry off what is your own. It's going to be brought back, whether what you've done, what you've practiced through your body, whether it was good. And this good here is it's agathos good, is that which can make you happy, or is that which is lacking in character? A textual problem, either way, it could be that which is worthless or that which is lacking in character. But it is something that we have the potential that we will receive rewards according to what we've done in the body. Of course, there is no condemnation to us, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, because we are in Christ Jesus. But our works will be put to the test. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, we find another occurrence of this term in verse 36. And in verse 36, he says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the desirous will of God, you may receive the promise." And so we're back to receiving a promise. And so this is something out there in the future that they can receive. That they've done the desirous will of God, they might receive the promise. And this is the word to receive, to receive as your own, to carry it off as your own, and keep it safe. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." And so you have, again, this is something that's very encouraging to these saints who are being kicked out of the temple, and we'll come back to verse 34 in a moment. But they lost all of their goods. Now, in 1 Peter 1, 9, we won't turn there for time's sake, but that's used also of the reception of the salvation of our souls. And so we're going to receive, we're going to carry off, it's something that's going to be given to us as something that is ours, that we can keep safe, take it away safe, and keep it in safety. It's going to be the salvation of our souls when our salvation is complete. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, those who are pastor teachers, there's a potential to receive a crown of glory, and the same word is used there. And so there are several times this word is used where it is applicable to grace believers. Now, back in 11:19 of Hebrews, it's also used of Abraham, and before the law was given, but he received Isaac back. And so he offered up Isaac, but he received him back again. And so there you get the idea for receiving back that which was his. But he did receive him. Now, it goes on to say then back in Hebrews 11, it says that they received it through, did not receive the promise. Now the promise, take the article to be a previous reference, and he's spoken of promises. And so 6 times down through the chapter, there is a reference to promise or promises in the previous chapter. But as we noticed, the promises specifically that would relate to all of these above would be the land promises and the potentials that they would have of the seed and such. They would, as the seed of Israel, they would receive, as a physical seed, they would receive the promise of land and such. Those promises were things that they did not fully receive. And they did not receive all that was that they would get when they would inherit the land, which would mean that they were going to have to receive the promises that would relate to them in their new covenant. And their new covenant of Jeremiah 31 and following does deal with their future tense salvation. And so God will put a new heart in them, and He's going to do various things there. But when we come down to verse 40, they didn't receive the promise. But notice verse 40, God having foreseen, in that sense, He saw something beforehand. In that sense, He did provide for us some better thing for us, generally concerning us. And so there's a better thing generally concerning us. This better thing that we have is something that we're going to get, is something that we haven't yet experienced. And so He's provided something, He's foreseen some better thing generally concerning us than He did for them. And this better thing that He's provided for us connects back to some of the better things that we see, have seen in Hebrews. Just back in, I want to just run through a couple of places where we see that we have a better covenant. And so better covenant is seen in 8:6. It speaks of a better covenant. But now hath He obtained, he's obtained a more excellent ministry, speaking of our high priest, through how much more also He is a quality of a mediator of a better covenant. So He's a mediator of a better covenant. We did look at Him as a mediator of a better covenant. And we see also back in 7:22, by so much was Jesus, or did Jesus come to be a surety. He was a guarantor. He was a security of a better covenant. The word testament is covenant. And so we have a better covenant, though. Now, when you have a covenant is based upon promises. And at the end of verse 6, it says that this better covenant was, it says, established, but it was activated upon the basis of better promises. And so you had better promises in our covenant. Now, what is our covenant? He does refer to it as new in quality and new in time. He uses both new terms to describe this covenant, but it's our new covenant that he speaks of here. And we can't take time, but in this chapter, down in these verses 6 and following, you have three different covenants. In verse 6, you have our new covenant. It's a better covenant. In verse 7, it speaks of the first. That would go back to the law. And then you have the second, which he's going to explain, which is Israel's new covenant. And so that's the third covenant. So you have three covenants in the context here that he refers to. We're not getting Israel's new covenant. We don't qualify. We're not the house of Israel, nor are we the house of Judah. And when they are brought together, we don't have any part of that covenant. We have something better. And so we have a better covenant based upon better promises, which as a result over in 7:19, it does give us a better hope. And so for the law made nothing mature. We looked at this before, but we'll just take it as it says here, bringing in up a better hope did what or does. It makes mature, the better hope. But the better hope comes based from better promises. And so you have promises. The promises give you hope, and we can lay hold of them by faith. And so we can draw near to God through that. And so we do have, and our better covenant is established upon better sacrifices as well. And so that those are some of the things that we see. Now, our better covenant is a new covenant. And we recognize that every time we come together for the Lordian table. It's by Christ's blood, but this is the covenant by which Christ is written in our hearts by the Spirit. This is where our sufficiency is, by this new covenant. And so we are able to live the Christian life so that we can reflect Christ out as in a mirror. But it relates to Christ in us, which relates to our eternal life. And we do have eternal life right now as a present possession. But yet, do we match up to the character of Christ? That won't take place in our full experience until the rapture. And so what Paul is saying in chapter 10 and verse 40 is, these 11 and verse 40, he says that God has foreseen some better thing generally concerning us. And that better thing that we're going to have is we're going to be like Christ. And that's going to be when the change takes place. And we're going to be like him when we see him. 1 John 3:2, 1 Corinthians 15:51. We're going to be changed, but we're going to be like him. And so we're going to really be like Christ. And so that's something better, far better. And so, but that's that they without us, that they without us what? Without us receiving our better thing. And so you would carry down the ellipsis. They didn't receive it, but we have to receive something first. And so we're going to receive our better thing. And so when we receive our better thing and we are like Christ, that is something that we have that is much as far better. And that they should not be made perfect, that they won't be brought to their intended end. They won't be mature. And we saw that the law could mature no one. But after we receive our better thing, when we are Christ-like, we're changed to be like Christ in the future at the rapture. After that, the time will come when these Old Testament saints who did not receive the promise, they will receive the promise. They will receive their eternal life so that they can live on the promised land that God has promised for them. Their promises relate to this earth. And so they will receive the land promised to Abraham. And they will also receive something that Abraham couldn't see, but there he didn't know the boundaries, but there's also going to be a new world. And we could go back to Romans 4, but we don't have time because it's time to quit. But anyway, they'll receive a new world, and that we're going to be in a new heavens. They'll be in a new earth in the future. But they can't receive their good thing. It wasn't bad until we get something better. And our better thing is we're going to be like Christ, and we're going to be with him wherever he is. Father, we're thankful again for the prospects that we have before us. Again, we're thankful for your Son, for the provisions that he's made for us so that we can one day, through the agreement between you and the Son, through our new covenant, that we will be like Christ, and that we even can now, when we're Spirit-filled, we can reflect his glory here on earth as we live. And so we're thankful for that potential. Amen.